Thanks for checking out the VU Church podcast today. If this is your first time listening in with us, we want you to know that you are loved. Wherever you're joining us from, we hope that this message encourages you. Now, here's Pastor Dawn Cherie Wilkerson.
So if you have your Bibles, you can turn there with me. 1 John chapter 3, verse 11. And as you turn there, let me remind you a little bit about who John was. He was an apostle of Jesus, and he also wrote the Gospel of John, and he wrote the book of Revelation. And this book, 1 John, is really written to believers. It's very straightforward. It's very specific. John doesn't beat around the bush as far as who we are called to be in Christ. So I believe that his words are going to speak to us today. So are you there, 1 John chapter 3? It's a large passage, but it's so rich. So stick with me. It'll be on the screens. It says this: "For this is the message that you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. We should not be like Cain, who was of the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his own deeds were evil and his brother's righteous. Do not be surprised, brothers, that the world hates you. We know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brothers. Whoever does not love abides in death. Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our life for the brothers. But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. By this we shall know that we are of the truth and reassure our heart before him. For whenever our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart, and he knows everything. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God. Whatever we ask, we receive from him because we keep his commandments and do what pleases him. And this is his commandment, that we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as he has commanded us. Whoever keeps his commandments abides in God, and God in him. And by this we know that he abides in us, by the Spirit whom he has given us." I want to speak to you for the next few moments on this thought: from death to life. From death to life. I want to take a moment to pray, and in the overflow, bow your heads with us. We're going to go to God. Lord, we thank you for today. We thank you, Lord, that you're speaking, you're moving. And Lord, that your word pertains to our personal lives and to our purpose as the body of Christ. So Lord, I pray that you'd speak and that our hearts would be changed forever. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Everybody said, amen. Amen. Well, we just read this rich, beautiful, very clear passage that John is writing to the early church, to the early believers, and now to us. And this passage, if you were to sum it up, it's all about love, right? You hear him say time and time again, love one another, love the brothers. And we love talking about love. Are you with me? Come on, honestly. Doesn't matter if you're a guy or a girl, we love the thought of love. People are infatuated with love. But as we come to this context, we have to understand that the context for this scripture is not simply just loving other people, but there's a real framework that John lays for us so that we can love others. See, our love for others is dependent upon our love for God and our receiving first and foremost of his love for us. It's when we receive his love that we're able to love those around us. See, I love people not just because they're valuable to me, but I love people because they're valuable to God. And because they're valuable to God, it should matter to me as a Christ follower to love those that he's placed in my life. It's not based on me. It's actually based on him. Humanism is a belief that all humans have intrinsic value, but where does the value come from? And when you actually stop seeing the value in someone, how do you actually continue to love and respect and treat them the way that they should be treated? But when you understand that God loves you first, and that you are then empowered to love, you can understand that your feelings can come and go. That one day you can feel like loving and the next day you don't feel like loving, but you can stay in the fight of love because you understand that God's love never changes. That he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. That his word actually says his love endures forever. I love that word endures because it is aggressive and it's strong. It's not soft or weak. Endures is a strong choice of vocabulary for that promise because endure means to suffer patiently. Endure means to not give up, to be steadfast. And when we understand that God's love endures to the seasons that we don't want to love others, endures to the seasons that we don't feel strong enough to give love, endures to the seasons that we feel like we've given all the love that we have, we can understand and go back to the promise of who God is and what his love holds for us. See, our love for others isn't just dependent upon what we hold, but it depends upon the love that God has given us. It's his love that endures forever. It's his love that is a sure foundation for every other relationship in your life. Because his love is steadfast. It doesn't change. And our love for others starts with our relationship with God. Do you hear me today? Our love for others starts with our relationship with God. This is what John is saying to us, but it's just the starting point. In verse 12, he says to us, we should not be like Cain, who was of the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? It's for us to ponder and think about. Because his own deeds were evil and his brother's righteous. Now, this is interesting because this is the New Testament. Why would John, in the middle of us talking about taking the love of Jesus to the people around us and loving them, go all the way back to the creation story and talk about the first two brothers in all of history? See, Cain was the first man that was ever born. Yeah, his parents were created by God, but he was the first human that was actually born. And then he had a brother named Abel. And these two brothers would bring offerings from their work to God. And the Bible says that Cain brought his offering and Abel brought his offering. But he differentiates in the word between the two offerings because Abel, Cain's brother, brought his best. And because he brought his best, he found honor with God. God honored him. And this burned Cain up with hatred to the point that Cain murders his brother Abel. Cain actually takes the hatred of his heart and he turns it into an action. And that action makes the first man ever born also become the first murderer. Cain's problem was thinking that the problem with his relationship with God was actually the fault of his brother. Cain became jealous. He became jealous because he started to think that if Abel was out of the picture, that he would then find favor with God. If Abel wasn't the favorite one, then he would be in right standing with God. So his jealousy led him to murder. Jealousy is interesting, right? Because jealousy is always based on scarcity. Jealousy is based on a belief that that person has something that I can't have. You don't ever see jealousy in a room where every single person has the exact same thing. Jealousy is based on scarcity, the belief that that person has it and I can't have it and I need it. But 1 Corinthians 13 tells us that love is not jealous. True love is not jealous. You see, true love always says that there's room. There's room for you at the table. There's no scarcity in God's love. There's no insufficiency in God's love. There's no inadequacy in God's love. God's love says there's always room for more at the table. My love can't be exhausted. My love can't be depleted. My love goes on and on and on. It endures forever. And in fact, my love is so perfect, God says that it casts out all fear. It gets rid of the jealousy and the mentality of scarcity because there's always enough for more. I think about my grandmother, and in the summer especially, like my parents used to just send us to my grandmother's house for weeks at a time. You can give my mom a little grace. There were six kids in the family. She's pretty smart. And we would all go over to my grammy's house for weeks, and we have the best time. And every night we'd have friends over, and she'd have her friends over. And sometimes I'd say, oh, can I invite them? Can I invite them? I remember my grammy always saying, yeah, bring them over. We've got enough food. And she'd have a big pot of soup on the stove, and she'd just pour some more water into the pot of soup. Why? Because she knew that there'd always be enough. That as we made room, there was always another seat at the table. And I don't know the picture of love that you have because of your earthly father or because of the relationships in your life, but I want to encourage you today that you serve a God whose love is inexhaustible. You serve a God that welcomes and beckons and invites those who are broken and isolated and abused and says, come sit and find healing and restoration and rest in my presence. That's the love that we found in God. There's room for everyone. And when we realize the unconditional, inexhaustible love of God, we are then empowered to love those around us. So now that we've been changed by the love of God, let me ask you, what does it look like to love others? If you're taking notes today, I believe, first of all, to love is to give. To love is to give. 1 John chapter 3, we just read it, so clearly states, by this we know love, that he laid down his life for us. And we ought, I love that word ought, we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. It's been said that you can give without loving, but how many of you know you can't truly love without giving? Yeah. To love is to give. And John pleads with us. He says, listen, don't just love in word or in talk, but love in deed, love in truth. Because when we receive the love of God, it is enough to propel our lives into action. And to truly love, it takes something out of you. It takes you sowing that seed of love, releasing the love that's been placed in your life so those around you can experience that love. Are you giving love? And if you're not familiar with actually being generous with the love of God that's been given with you, let me just give you some practical ways that you can in this community. In 2 weeks, we have our monthly I Love My City project. Does anybody love these Saturday gatherings? Maybe you say, what is I Love My City? Well, we actually started doing this before we even launched the church. Every month we get together and we serve our city together. It's not a bumper sticker we put on our car that just reads, I love my city. It's an event of action. It's putting love into action. You say, what does that look like? Well, the people that were singing up here on the stage leading worship today, they'll be in a nursing home, loving and singing worship and encouraging widows and those who may not have had anyone visit that entire day. We'll be going to children's homes, children who are waiting to be placed in foster care, who don't have a stable family, and we'll be playing games with them. We'll be bringing gifts. We'll be loving them. We'll put love into action. This month alone, we have two brand new community partnerships. We partner with nonprofit organizations across our city because we know that together we can do more. That together, as we're united, God can do what only He can do. And it just gets better and better as people understand we put love into action. Next month, we'll be giving away hundreds of backpacks and school supplies. This Christmas, we'll be giving away hundreds, if not thousands, of toys to children in foster homes. You say, how does that work? Well, we just believe that when we serve a city, God can change it. When we love a city, God can transform it. When we just occupy the space that God's love is able to overcome the darkness. Come on. We just got to show up. It's another practical way that you can put love into motion. We have crews. They're small groups that meet all over the city in restaurants and coffee shops. And you say, what's the point of that? Well, we decide to commit each season to gathering 6 times every other week on 1 weeknight. And you say, what's the fruit of that? Well, you would be blown away as communities come together in small groups and just start to be the church. That people who are in the hospital are now visited by their friends and their family they've made through their crews. That people who are graduating from AA have people in the crowd from their crew cheering them on as they've moved from rehab to complete freedom. That people who are going through tough times, needing some groceries, are suddenly met with the generosity of their crew. That it's love in action. That the celebrations of their life are sustained by their friends. That them getting married, having a child, getting a raise at their job, or even the valleys when they've lost their job, or there's a need in their life, or they've lost a loved one. Crews put love into action. Crews is a way that we love, and when we love, we give. We give of our time. And I think a lot of times when we read this verse, we're like, we wait for this like really dramatic moment of giving and sacrifice that our whole life culminates into this moment. But that's not what it looks like. It actually could just look like you going, I'm going to commit to show up 6 times at a coffee shop so that I can develop real relationships. And that naturally, through fellowship, the way that God has created it, needs are met within our community. This is God's plan for our lives. What else does it look like to just put our giving into action? I think it has a lot to do with our finances. How could I ever talk about Cain and Abel and not talk honestly with you as your pastor about your finances? After all, God's blessing was on what Abel gave. That Abel gave his first fruits, and servant leadership is great, but God, as we follow him, expects us to entrust our finances to him as well. Are you giving? Because to love is to give. It's a practical way that we show God that we're serious when we say, Lord, you're first in our life. Abel had the confidence to give God the best because he recognized that God gave it all to him. Yeah. And that's a revelation for us that you can rest in, that as you give 10% of your income, you can understand, I do this because I recognize everything came from God. The doors that opened came from God. The promotion came from God. My health came from God. My abilities came from God. Every step of the way, it came from God. So for me to love is for me to give. But there's another type of giving that sometimes we forget. And that's to forgive. Because giving forgiveness is a gift that only you can give, but it's a gift you give yourself as well. Because when you give the gift of forgiveness, you free yourself from the past. You free yourself from the bondage of bitterness. You free yourself from having to be the judge. Forgiveness is a gift that you give. And don't make any mistake about it. If you think that you love people, then you should know that you've also made a commitment to forgive people. Because to love is to forgive. They go hand in hand. When we got married 11 years ago, Rich and I, we made all of these vows. You know, all of these vows are beautiful and strong, but the truth is all of these vows depended upon our ability to forgive one another. Because love cannot be sustained where there is unforgiveness. Unforgiveness is a wedge that finds itself within relationships and will completely demolish the relationship if it is not removed. And to love is to give, and to love is to forgive. Do you forgive? Because I find really honestly that people that have a hard time forgiving just have a hard time giving in general. Forgiveness is a gift with no strings attached. Forgiveness is a gift that we give others. We decide to absolve. We decide to absorb the pain that they have given to us. And we decide to let them go and to forgive and to not hold on. You say, Dawn Cherie, how do I do this? It goes back to the premise of this conversation, that you can forgive because God forgave you. Because anytime you love others, let me just tell you, you're gonna get hurt. Your friends are not perfect. Your parents are not perfect. Your boss is not perfect. Your spouse is not perfect. And newsflash, you're not perfect. So you have to choose to forgive. And if we are people that really do call ourselves followers of Jesus and love others, then as we choose to love, we also at the same moment make the decision to forgive. Let me tell you, love will require you to give when it's inconvenient. Love will require you to forgive when it doesn't feel good. Love will require you to sow seeds of sacrifice and commitment when it's the last thing you want to do. But can I encourage you today? When you decide to give, that is the moment that your life suddenly begins to gain. That brings me to my second point. See, to love is to give, but secondly, to love is to gain. 1 John chapter 3, verse 19 says, "By this we shall know that we are of the truth." This is powerful. This speaks so much strength to your identity and to mine today. If we can realize what John is saying to you and I, that as we love our brothers, by this we shall know that we are of the truth and reassure our heart before him. For whenever our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart. He knows everything. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God. And whatever we ask, we receive from him because we keep his commandments and do what pleases him. When you choose to love, you gain your proper place. Say, so what do you mean, Dawn Cherie? Well, John just so clearly explained it to us that as we choose to love others, that even when our heart condemns us, we can have confidence that God is with us and that we are his. When we choose to love others, we gain the confidence that we need to know that we are right in the middle of the purpose of God. There are a lot of people that are searching for purpose. There are a lot of people that are making other gains, gains in the gym, gains at work, gains in their relationship, gain, gain, gain. But let me tell you, when you love, that's a gain that the world can't give you. That's a gain that leads you and guides you upon your destiny. And you gain an assurance, a confidence. But when your heart says, this whole thing is not real, this whole thing, you're not really loving people, you're not really doing anything. When your heart starts to condemn you, you can have a confidence just like John said, because you put your love into action and you've seen fruit of your love. And you can go, no, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt because I've experienced his love and now his love has been used to flow through me. How many of you are thankful you have a confidence today? Because to love is to give. And when you give, you always gain. You gain a confidence that your life matters. As you open up your heart, no job could ever take the place of actually loving people. And let me tell you, whatever your profession is, your calling is to love people. That's when you gain your true purpose. And when you give, you actually get a real perspective on who you're loving. You gain confidence in your calling and your purpose, but you also gain a perspective that you would have never had unless you opened up your heart and your hands and you gave. We have gains through the love of Jesus that we could have never had unless we actually chose to love the people around us. And the truth of the matter is that we're going to be hurt. You say, Don Shree, you say to love is to gain, but what if you get your heart broken? What if you get rejected? What if you have a knife in your back? What do you do when someone stabs you in the back that you loved? Let me tell you, to love is to gain in every situation, because even in situations where you've been hurt, the steadfast love of God is continually revealed to you. And his depths just continue to submerge you in his grace and his mercy. And his healing power is revealed to you, even in moments when we're hurt. Love always brings gains, because love is a seed. And love brings fruit in your life. To love is to give, and then to love is to gain. What does that look like when we gain a new perspective? This month, a friend of mine told me about the story of Dr. Mully. This is an incredible, incredible man who's lived a miraculous life that started with the choice to give. And Dr. Mully was born in Kenya in complete poverty. And then he miraculously worked job after job and then decided to start his own business. He started business after business until he was the most wealthy man in the entire city. He was married. He had several children. They lived a lavish lifestyle. They had everything that they wanted, and everyone wanted to be this family. But here Dr. Mully stood with everything that life had to offer, and still he hadn't gained the one thing that can only be given when we choose to love others. He could not find his purpose. He could not find peace or rest. And so Dr. Mully decided that he was going to go to the street children in Kenya, and he was going to decide to bring them into his own home. Into his beautiful house. All of a sudden, the bedroom started to be filled up with 1, 2, 3, 4, 10, 20, 25 children pulled from the streets, and his family started to criticize him. And his kids couldn't understand it. And the city started to think, you're insane. They really thought he was insane when he decided to sell every single one of his businesses. He sold everything, and he said, I'm going to give my life to the children that live on the street. He set up a nonprofit Christian organization that houses children. And today, Dr. Mully's House for Children has helped over 10,000 children off the streets find a home, find education, find a life that they would have never had. Why? Because someone decided to give, and he gained a perspective. He gained a purpose. He gained a destiny that nothing else in the world could give. All of his businesses, all of his money, all of his relationships, he couldn't gain it. But when you decide to give, you gain. Because that's what it means to love others. The very first value of his organization is unconditional love. Because you can't just give someone shelter. It's love, plus love in physical action that brings real transformation. And I don't know what your story is. And I don't know what you've been holding on to or what you've been withholding from those in your life. Affirmation, love, unconditional love. But let me tell you, you will gain a perspective. You will gain a confidence in who you are when you start to love people with all your heart. Because to love is to give. To love is to gain. But lastly, when you gain, you always grow. The last point is to love is to grow. 1 John chapter 3, verse 14 says, we know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brothers. Whoever does not love abides in death. Now, this is strong. We often hear that the moment we surrender our life to Jesus, that our life passes from death to life. But do you hear what John's saying there? He said, when we choose to love others, we pass from death to life. Because for you to fully walk in the abundance of your destiny and your purpose, for you to fully have the darkness of your flesh and your selfish, sinful desires removed once and for all and replaced with the light of Jesus, you've got to be in other relationships so that that love can be put into action, so that you can be sharpened, so that you can be molded. It's through relationships that we are able to be shaped into the image of Christ. See, to love others is to be like Christ. So he says, you pass from death to light. Why? Because you can surrender your life to Jesus and still walk out these doors and say, oh, my eternity's secure, but I'm still going to live selfish. I'm still going to live insecure. I'm still going to live jealous. I'm still going to live full of bitterness and unforgiveness. And you can live the rest of your life in the darkness that is the flesh. Or you can choose to let the hands of Almighty God shape your life through love. Shape your life through the power of the Holy Spirit. Isn't this the power of the Holy Spirit that we decide to give, right? We obey and we start to give. And then through giving, we gain a perspective of who we are in Christ and how desperate people are for his love. And as we gain the perspective, we can't go back to how we used to be. There's only one more step, and that's to grow. That's to allow the Holy Spirit to shape us once and for all, for every step to be established in his grace. You say, what does that look like practically? Well, the people that you used to judge all the time, that you just kind of knew exactly what they were going through and what they should have done and what you would have done, and you have an opinion about everything, all of a sudden the Holy Spirit starts to stop you in your tracks as you start to judge them. And because you actually stepped out and you gave, you gained a new perspective on what people could be facing. You actually gain a new compassion for people. You stop judging. You take yourself out of the judgment seat, and you actually move yourself to a place of just loving people and allowing God to do what only he can do. That lifestyle of ease and selfishness that used to be so comfortable for you, just thinking about yourself and what you need, getting what you need to get through the day and through the week and getting your plans done, all of a sudden that ease of selfishness is suddenly so uncomfortable because the Holy Spirit starts to shape you because you decided to give and you gained a new perspective that people are actually desperate for what you have. They can't stay in your selfish state. That it's time to give and it's time to grow because the perspective that you've been given, you can't forget, you can only move forward in obedience. See, to give is to grow. I want to encourage every one of you. Who you are today is not who God has planned a year from now or even a week from now. When we find ourselves in the presence of God with his perfect love, he transforms us like only he can. So the question is, are you finding yourself in time with God? This First John journal, it's not just so it's like, oh, it's cool colors and it looks really awesome and I like it on my desk. This is for you to be shaped by the hands of God. This is for your heart to be changed from one that is focused on yourself to one that is filled up with the confidence of who you are in God so that you can turn your eyes to everyone around you. To love is to grow. And we can't waste any time growing into the church that God has called us to be. But as we grow, and as we actually stop saying that we love people and put it into action, how many of you know that opposition always comes to growth? I mean, this is what James warns us about in verse 13. He says, don't be surprised. So if you are surprised, he's saying, hey, this is old news. This is just what happens. Don't be surprised, brothers, that the world hates you. Cain hated his brother. He had evil in his heart. He hated the righteousness in his brother. He hated the integrity in his brother. He hated the intimacy that his brother had and the honor that he had with his God. Missionaries around the world today are being killed for the message of Christ. They are giving their lives. And maybe in your life, if you're really honest, your decision to live a life that pleases God has brought criticism to you. That the moment you stopped just saying that you were a Christian and actually started living like a Christian, that people in your family started to get irritated with it. That your friends that you thought were your friends suddenly had a lot to say about you. Don't be surprised that when you put love into action, opposition comes. It's always been that way, but hear me. The only way that the opposition can be defeated is if you keep on loving. Because love is the only thing that drives out hate. Light is the only thing that overcomes the darkness. Keep on loving. Keep on giving. Keep on gaining a perspective. Keep on growing. Because as you keep on loving, love always overcomes hatred. I'm reminded of Pastor David Wilkerson, who as a really young man moved to New York. Said he's a skinny preacher. And all of a sudden he starts going to the neighborhoods in New York that are run by gangs, that police won't even step foot in because they're terrified for their life. And this skinny preacher starts showing up to those neighborhoods and preaching the love of Jesus. And one day he's confronted by the head of one of the most notorious gangs in the city, the Mau Maus. He's confronted by the gang leader, Nicky Cruz. This young man has a switchblade in his hand and is ready to take the preacher down. He's ready to kill him. Nicky Cruz said in retrospect, he was ready to murder him right then and there. He said, "Preacher, I will cut you up into tiny pieces." And under the power of the Holy Spirit and the love of God that overcomes all darkness, David Wilkerson looked back at Nicky Cruz and he said, "Nicky, you can cut me up into tiny pieces and lay my body in the street, but every piece would say, I love you." You see, there's no fear that can overcome the love of God. There's no intimidation that can overcome His perfect grace and truth. His love is enough to drive out the darkness. Come on, do you believe it today? If you do, stand to your feet. I'm not quite done. But hey, if we're standing, let's just stand together. Yeah. Nicky Cruz later said this. He said, "I was ready to kill him in that moment because I was so full of hatred. But then he began to tell me about Jesus." You have to understand this. We started with it today. The reason you love is not just so that people know that you love them. But the reason we love others is so that we can then point it back to our Savior. It's not so that people go, "Oh, she is so loving. She's so great. She's so awesome. He is so loving. He's always there." No, no, that's not the reason. We got to go back to the framework of why we love. That we love so that people are pointed to Jesus. So that His love is irresistible because it's made tangible to them through you. Let me tell you, your life matters. The love God's placed in your heart matters. Why are you holding it to yourself? Because to love is to give. To love is to release what God's placed in your hand. To love is to gain a new perspective. That life is about more than just you and your dreams, but your dreams will come alive as you start to love those around you. And to love is to grow. To not stay where you are, but to grow in the fruit of the Spirit. To get rid of the darkness in your life. To trust God that as you just obey step after step, His Spirit will guide and lead you from death to life. That's God's plan for your life today. Not in 10 years, but for this week. From death to life. You are destined to live that life.
Our community at VU Church aims to reach our city and beyond with the life-transforming message of Jesus. Thank you for your support. If you want to further connect with us, you can find us online at vuchurch.com or on any social media platform at VU Church.